practice, because now people who were hesitant to have dentistry done because they had to pay for it now flocked to the dental office because it wasn't costing them anything. They didn't even care what was being done. A lot of times they would be worked on, they had to leave an office and say, I wonder why I put in that bridge, or I wonder what did he do, you know? Reminded me of a story of World War I, when the Germans had invaded Belgium, and this German officer came into this farmhouse. There was a maiden there, and sex on the farm was just a matter of fact, you know, the animals, everything else, and he didn't say a word, and he undressed, you know, removed his belt and his sword, and had his way with her, and dressed and left, and never said a word. She was talking to a girlfriend, and she said, to this day, I don't know what he wanted. So this was about the way dentistry was being produced in the patient's mouth. As long as they paid, didn't pay, they didn't care. And there was an abuse of it. Men were sending in false reports. They were charging for things that weren't even done. And I remember it was abusive. And now they're starting to bring in cheaper and cheaper programs in which it's harder to do quality work anymore. There's a restriction on fees. So the men are beginning to suffer. And financially, dentistry has starting to reach a low ebb. There's that individual who still is able to be very successful. But the demand on dentistry has lessened to the degree that many dental schools have closed. And dental enrollments are down.
So you mean there was a peak about 10 years ago before the insurance, or when the insurance first started?
Maybe about 20 years ago it started to.
So before reach. The insurance kind of...
You had to have, if you wanted to do quality work and be successful, you had to have a real fine practice. Mm-hmm. But about 20 years ago, then the men began to cash in on the insurance programs, but it's reversing itself now, and they're cutting down on it. And this is why many of these multiple offices, you know, like Sears and so forth, have no trouble finding dentists to work in them at perhaps maybe $30,000 a year. Because to open up an office is expensive, to go to school is expensive, and they're laden with debt. And
so the advances kind of allowed them to hire people just as technicians now instead of as...
Yeah, there's a profusion of dentists on the market now. There's less dentistry being done today. As I said, fluorides have cut down on the decay. And to get into these exotic things like implants and periodontal surgery and so forth, the average person doesn't have that kind of money. And as the insurance programs have lessened, the demand is less and less. When I left school, there were maybe one or two periodontists around, a few root canal men. Small number of orthodontists. Now there's a profusion of everything.
I mean, the specialists are more in demand.
I wouldn't say they're more in demand. There are more and more specialists available, and fewer and fewer referrals being made to these specialists, because since the men don't have as much work to do, a lot of them are doing the things themselves, even if they don't have the competence. Even if they don't have the experience. Many, many men are doing implants at their offices that I would have an oral surgeon perform it for me. They're doing it themselves. I would say many men are doing things beyond their capabilities. And they're selling. when you go to a professional man today, whether it's a physician or a dentist, you're almost like a victim. They don't do procedures because it's necessarily good for you. They do procedures that are beneficial to them. You open up your mouth and they figure out how much work they can get out of it, you know.
This is an off-the-wall question, but when you were a child, what is your earliest recollection of a dentist? In the back of my mind, I see this pre-dental thing where you would go to the barber shop.
Frightening.
And the barber would be the dentist.
Frightening. I had toothache. They took me up to the dental school. The anesthetics were not as perfected, not as good. And perhaps whoever worked on me wasn't that good. And I had a very painful experience. And I had some other painful experiences. I had a wisdom tooth extracted. And the anesthetic was not rendered properly.
That's another field that's advanced.
And I cried like a baby. So I had such a fear of dentistry that that was a good reason for me not to to desire it as a profession. And since I wouldn't make up my mind as to what I was, I just wanted to be an artist, and Dad said, go to school for 6 months, take up anything you want. And I says, no art, no dentistry. And my brother, being a dentist, booted me in the rear end from my home, the University of Pittsburgh, and I cried crocodile tears.
Yeah.
They signed me up for dentistry. Okay. Then I refused to practice for a whole year. So I had no desire to be a dentist. So when I saw that I had all this pressure from my family, being idealistic, I made a vow to myself, well, if I'm going to be a dentist, at least I'm going to get the pleasure of being a good one. And then began my years of chagrin, and I wasn't happy being a dentist. I was happy in serving the public. I was happy in respect that I was getting. I was happy with my peer respect. But I wasn't happy with the actual work I was doing.
Mm-hmm. No. I wanted to ask one more question. You have to leave soon. We've been talking a long time. But it seems to me, in my recollection of dentistry, that what they use to numb you is a lot different than that. That's evolved. And there's a lot of different techniques that they use.
In my day, many men mixed their own anesthetic. It was not chemically the same as today. Then the Noval family came out with a tube that was more laboratory controlled, and it was called Novocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Came from the Noval family. It's a procaine hydrochloride.
So you started using Novocaine about when?
Well, they were using Novocaine when I graduated school, but it was not called Novocaine then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when I was out a few years, then it began to be called Novocaine. And now they routinely refer to it as Novocaine, although the formula has been changing over the years. It's not as toxic.
Mm-hmm.
It's more profound. It's a better anesthetic.
So they use that now?
Yeah.
So what about the laughing gas?
Laughing gas is nitrous oxide.
Mm-hmm.
It got the name laughing gas because they used it at parties as a form of entertainment. They would put it on their nose, inhale it, and they would begin to feel happy, and they called it laughing gas. But it was nitrous oxide. That was a marvelous anesthetic because up to that time you didn't even have ether.
Mm-hmm.
And so surgery was very limited because of the anesthetics. So after the ether, then the nitrous oxide, which incidentally was perfected by a dentist, Wells. And but that had its limitations. You couldn't control the patient as well. You would get them too deep sometimes. Sometimes they'd wreck your office when they woke up. So they began to introduce injections in combination mm-hmm. with the nitrous oxide. And then they started to get into Valium, intravenous Valium and so forth. Yeah. So the nitrous oxide became less and less used. Now there's some men use it as a gimmick. I mean, they'll work on the fears of patients and say, well, you put you asleep, you won't feel anything, you know. Or they'll give you analgesia. There's a difference between analgesia and anesthesia. See, the analgesia is still the laughing gas, but you're on a very light level.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really asleep. But also, the nerve centers are not numb.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a highly sensitive patient, believe me, the analgesia will not work. So for it to work, you have to put the patient.
Mm-hmm. Just some of the doctors seem to use it more. I've been in an office where they've used it just to clean my teeth. Many years ago.
It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
It's a gimmick.